Maybe we should have watched Some Kind of Wonderful. Jamie?
Yep.
Let's go watch Explorers.
Welcome to another episode of Good Times, Great Movies. It's here where myself, Jamie Lorello, and DP McCambridge discuss a movie of the 1980s. This week, we discuss one in honor of the first moon landing. Is that correct?
Well, the first walk on the moon.
The first walk.
I'm sure we had things land on them. Oh, man. You know what? We shouldn't talk about stuff.
Hey, I don't work for NASA. I don't have that kind of information.
The only people that know anything about moon landings work for NASA.
We are celebrating it with a review of this fine 1985 movie. We come together every so often to do this, and we're coming together right now. Not in a spaceship. Not in a tilt-a-whirl. Just in our homes.
You know, the one thing about this movie is I sat there for so long going, I really want to ride the tilt-a-whirl.
You like, kind of did, right? You
missed the tilt-a-whirl ride. I really do. Yes.
You must have a good, like a good vestibular system. Like the spinning doesn't get you dizzy or anything.
They have this, and this is, I'm not going to say near where you grew up, but if you go to Knoebels.
Oh, yeah.
They have the best tilt-a-whirl at Knoebels.
What makes it so wonderful?
First of all, the ride just lasts so long. All the rides there just go on seemingly forever. And for some reason, I don't know what it is about these cars, they spin. And I mean, they really get spinning.
Oh.
Where some tilt-a-whirls you get on and you're kind of just rocking back
and
forth.
Kind of mellow,
and
you
can't get that. No, people, if you are able to ever make it to Knoebels, also it's great because there's no entrance fee.
So you pay per ride?
You pay per ride or you get a pass, but you don't have to pay to get in.
So nice.
When we take our kids, we go with my parents and they just kind of like hang out and we'll watch the
little
one. It's
just like a day for them.
We go on a coaster. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, this episode is sponsored by Knoebels.
I love it. Hey, doesn't Knoebels also spot, like, isn't Snoopy kind of the mascot of Knoebels? Is that right?
That is Dorney Park.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Dorney Park, where the rides are shorter and the lines are longer.
Yeah.
And it's
but
just,
there's a water park there.
There is a gross
Dorney
water park.
Dorney Park and if Wild you, Water Kingdom.
Yeah. If you're one of those psychos that likes to go to water park and be in a pool with 1,000 other strangers, go for it. Apparently it's a good one, but that's not my thing.
That's not your thing. Knoebels, no. Tilt-a-whirls, those are your things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then this might have brought some good.
With the tilt-a-whirl.
Have you ever looked at a tilt-a-whirl and thought, that could be a spaceship?
No.
No?
It's pretty great, though. I mean,
well, have
once they make it, I was like, oh, that's a really great idea, and that's a really nice spaceship, and it's pretty spacious.
Spacious.
Thing.
They have like a TV is like one of the windows or something, right? It's very, there's a trash can, which
I thought was kind of strange. I was like, okay, so you're in this bubble that protects you from everything. And yet you have to wall yourself also up inside of a tilt-a-whirl.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, that made sense.
Well, because that's so they travel together.
No. I just don't understand why they can't sit in a tilt-a-whirl in the bubble.
Why
have to have portholes and all sorts of other stuff.
I like when they go through the drive-in movie and nobody really notices that they're buzzing through.
No, they crash into the food stand or the concession stand. Nobody seems to notice.
No, quite the crash, too.
It's quite the crash. And we don't even just hear one person say, like, well, was that a car or something?
No.
And the only people that apparently dogs are aware of them. All the dogs in the neighborhood are alerted to them. None of the people.
Yeah. No. And they're a pretty obvious tilt-a-whirl floating.
It is very obvious. when he wants to spy on that girl like some sort of weird pervert.
Yes,
I was like,
yes.
It's just you in an invisible bubble.
Yeah.
Right outside of her window. How could she not see you?
How could it not be mildly noticeable at best?
Before we talk about this movie, can we just talk about a couple things?
Sure.
If you're listening to this episode when it comes out, if you're if you look at your watch right now or your calendar and you see that it is Friday, July 26th.
Yeah.
You should go to Philadelphia tomorrow.
Yeah, you should schedule a little outing for yourself.
A little outing. Go to the bar, Tattooed Mom, in Philadelphia.
It's a groovy little spot.
Be there at 5:30.
Yeah.
Go upstairs, and you can hear us talk about Supergirl.
Yeah, we might be flying through the air, just as our heroes in this movie fly through the air.
You know what? They have seats that are like bumper cars. I wonder if they have a tilt-a-whirl in that place.
Oh, I wonder. Well, we need the computer to log in and get our coordinates so we can build that crazy bubble, which, yeah, the science behind this movie is not exactly.
But anyway, that's where we're going to be tomorrow. And just something that we did not mention at all.
Haven't mentioned.
If you're on the fence and you're like, oh, I don't know. I live right down the street, but I don't want to walk two blocks to hear you guys. And just like last year, you'll probably put the episode up for everyone to hear anyway. Guess what?
Oh, boy.
Unless you're a patron and you paid for Jamie's airfare to fly out for this, you're not going to hear this episode. It will only go up for patrons.
That's right.
And it won't go up for patrons right away. It'll be a little while.
Yeah.
So this is going to be your only chance to hear
to
us talk about
Supergirl. Live. And you're going to see it live.
Yes.
So it's like an episode that the patrons get. It's like an unedited version where we'll probably be consuming some beers while we talk about Supergirl. Maybe we'll buy you one. We don't know. Not while we not while we're talking, of course, because we have to discuss. But it'll be a good it'll be a good time
to buy beers in the middle of the podcast.
We're like, oh wait, hold on, we got some company. We told them we'd spot them a beer or two.
I would just show up. How drunk are we going to be when we start?
I don't know.
How drunk are we going to be by the end of this?
You know,
just for that alone, just to see
just
what's
these
going
questions,
on.
Right? And they have great tater tots. So get
what?
Some tater tots. Didn't they have good tater tots there? I feel like their tater tots are pretty tasty.
You know what? Let's say they did.
So you're going to get yourself some tater tots.
Uh-huh.
You're going to get a beer.
Uh-huh.
The last time we were there, they had lots of like crazy spider rings, you know, those like cheapo spider rings. You're going to put a spider ring on. You're going to go upstairs. And you're going to watch us and hear us all in live action and not animated, not live action animation.
Right.
Which would be interesting.
Live
which
action
maybe,
animation.
I think,
wait, are the animators making this? People are watching it. Are the animators frantically drawing things? What is this live action animation you speak of?
Anyway, look, you
also,
can see all of this.
How drunk was I last year? I don't remember the tater tots. I don't remember spider rings.
Oh, yeah. I think they were. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Lots of stickers. Yeah.
Well, you can't miss the stickers. They're everywhere. Yeah. But anyway, everybody come out and see us. And the last thing I want to talk about before we start this episode is if you are a patron or interested, on August 1st, our bonus episode
is coming soon
on the Beverly Hills Madam comes out.
Oh, and it is a good one. I will tell you.
It's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great TV movie.
Right. Yes. I mean, I don't even know what to say about it. Who's in it? We recorded the episode so long ago. Who's the Beverly Hills Madam?
She's also in Supergirl.
Faye Dunaway is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's her name? Head of the class. Married to Mike Tyson.
Robin Givens
is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we're not doing this movie justice. It is so trashy bad. It's amazing.
It's bad. It's good. It's a good time. Great movie is what it is.
It really is. Thanks for bailing me out there because I didn't know what to say
about it. You were very forgetful, Frankie, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Anyway, everybody, that's it. So go to our patreon.com/goodtimesgreatmovies. See what's there. There's so many past episodes, so many more to come. And our next one is on August 1st.
Coming up soon. Coming up real soon.
All right. So should we talk about the explorers?
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's explore.
Let's explore the stars or just a creek for a long time in this movie.
Or a lot of fog machines, right? Or smoke machines.
There's so much fog in this movie.
Very foggy places that these guys go to.
So this is The Explorers, directed by Joe Dante, who's made better things. You know what? You know what? I'm going to withhold judgment on this movie until the end.
Yeah.
Because who knows? I have a feeling about this movie, but by the end, maybe it will change.
Okay. You never know as we come to talk about it. It is the first movie for both Ethan Hawke and River Phoenix.
That is amazing to me because they're both doing a pretty great
job
in this movie.
Excellent. I have to say River Phoenix's professor look, because they give him these big old glasses, and he kind of looks like later. We've already watched the, what was the Harrison Ford movie we saw him in? The Mosquito
Indiana
Coast? Mosquito Coast, where Harrison Ford is sort of the scientist with the big glasses and River Phoenix does a great job as kind of this scientist-y kid, this nerdy kind of kid. And Ethan Hawke is, I think it just proves that he's a good actor. He was great in this as young as he was. And the third kid, I don't know.
Yeah, the third kid didn't.
He did a great job, but I don't know what he does. He was in I Know My First Name is Steven, which was a great TV movie.
He was in that, yes.
Yeah.
And you know who else he was in? He was the older brother in The Lady in White.
Oh, so he had a couple of things he did in the 80s, but not a whole lot.
I think I looked him up, and I think he retired from acting in the mid-90s.
He had had enough.
Maybe this was the apex, I think, for him. I think it may have been.
Okay.
But Ethan Hawke is... He's such a little Ethan Hawke. Like, you can see the older Ethan Hawke in his mannerisms.
Yeah, you can.
His expressions. Mm-hmm. It's really great to see that.
It's kind of fun to watch, yeah.
Yeah. River Phoenix is good. It's a weird character, I think, because it's almost – like, this is a character that should be in a body switch movie. Like, he should have switched –
because he's like an old man.
He's like an old man trapped in a child's body.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. He plays it a little too old manish at times.
Well, I was reading a little bit right before we started that first he was supposed to be cast as the Darren character. So the other,
I didn't pay attention to their names in this movie.
So Darren is the character of the actor that I Know My First Name is Steven actor. So, and then I guess since this was River Phoenix's first film, he was straight from like, what, he was raised on like a commune in South America.
Yep.
So he didn't know a lot of the lingo and some of the terms that he was using because he just wasn't raised around American pop culture. So
he looked at the script and went, Thunder Road?
Yeah.
Who's Bruce Springsteen?
He said, Thunder Road?
I can't say these lines.
Yeah. No, there were things, I guess, that he... So maybe that's why some of his character was even more maturely played.
But I think all three of these child actors are doing a good job. And I would say that if Amanda Peterson was given anything to do, she'd probably be fine. But she's given nothing to do in this
Just
movie.
Just smile every now and then.
Yeah.
At Ethan Hawke. Mm-hmm. And fly. She gets to fly at the end.
She does get to fly at the end, which is baffling. I mean, at that point in this movie, I'm so out and I don't care what's going on. I don't know what's happening. And I watched them fly and I was like, please let this movie end. Like, please let this be the end of this movie. And mercifully, it was.
Yeah. Yeah. When they all fly together into space.
It's too long.
Too long. And it's about an hour and 45.
Too long. That's too much. And it's not – that would not be too long if the movie continues to be what it sets out to be at the beginning.
Yes.
I would happily watch an hour and 45 minute long movie about these kids inventing a spaceship and mm-hmm. flying around and getting into goofy hijinks. You know mm-hmm. what? Even if they went into space and, I don't know, orbited the moon and there's problems like in that whatever, space. Apollo whatever movie.
Oh, right.
Fine. Have them solve real life issues. Have them band together, come back. Oh, I can't believe we made it. Great, the end. I'd watch an hour, 45 minutes of that.
But I know when you get thrown off. I know when we all get a little uncomfortable.
We should all get uncomfortable. If you like this movie, if you listen to this and you like this movie all the way through, I need answers.
I might be able to provide some. Okay. I might be able to provide some. Now, I can't fully, but I might be able to provide some. I can provide now or I can provide when we get there. Let's wait till we get there.
I should have known we were in trouble when the movie starts with something that looks like Tron.
Oh, I had some Tron flashbacks. What the heck?
So many Tron flashbacks. There are several times where they're dreaming that they're in a computer. And there is an episode of the cartoon Muppet Babies where they're in a computer and it looks better than this stuff.
Oh. Well, and I don't understand. I guess that's because he's dreaming in the beginning mm-hmm. that of the program that makes this bubble. Is that why he's able? Because then he gets up right away. Ethan Hawke does. And Ethan Hawke has this dream mm-hmm. where first he's floating, which is interesting enough to watch him like fly like Peter Pan through the clouds.
It's great, terrible, like 80s green screen stuff.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And if you're nostalgic mm-hmm. for that, it's really fun to watch this.
And again, Ethan just kind of floating around. But then he like is in this like computer grid.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. But you're right in that this whole thing, the whole beginning exists because, like you said, he gets up and he has to sketch out this thing, this shape with circuits or whatever nonsense he's sketching out.
And he brings that to...
to his super smart friend, Wolfgang.
Wolfgang, who is, I think, homeschooled, right? He doesn't...
He's gotta be homeschooled. You know what? I didn't even really think about it, but you're right. He wasn't at school.
No. He walkie-talkies him first in the middle of the night and is like, hey, you got it. Which, wow, what great reception on those walkie-talkies because he doesn't live close by.
I mean, this movie is – it's such a time – and now with Stranger Things, I think that people our age – that's why people our age love Stranger Things so much is it really harkens back to this and Goonies – because it's kid-centric. You're available for your friends all the time.
Yeah.
You're traveling everywhere on bikes together.
Yeah.
Everyone's inseparable. The kids are the heroes of the movie. You spend mm-hmm. all the time with them. Adults are there in the background, kind of. But it's all about kids. And it's funny now because there's such a pushback by some people against, like, Marvel movies and superhero movies, like, oh, everything now has to be a superhero movie. And I just think about people probably like our parents' age in mm-hmm. the 80s, like, why is everything these stupid kid movies?
I'm sure
they had the same feeling. But this does have that feel, and it's nice and it's comfortable, and I like to see that. Like, I still love The Goonies. It's still a great movie.
Sure, yeah.
So we watch Ethan Hawke. Sorry, I'm not going to use character names.
Benjamin, I think is his name, if we need to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We watch Ethan Hawke get punched in the face at school.
Yeah, bloody nose and everything.
Yeah, by a bully who's on his way to a mullet. He's not quite there yet, but it's coming in. It's coming in.
The best bullies do have mullets and bad
give
hair.
Him a year or two, you know, when he's entering high school, I'm sure that thing's mulleting out.
Full mo.
And then some kid who... I don't know if these two have ever interacted before this.
I don't think so.
So this kid intervenes. This kid's smaller than Ethan Hawke. But he intervenes, like, pushes the bully around or something. He's wearing a giant coat, like a big trench coat almost. And then he rides away on a motorcycle.
He's got, like, a little moped that he just scoots away on to the saddest house. He's got the saddest little life. He talks about it.
This was another thing that I want a movie of this kid's life, too, because I'm like, his dad has to be some alcoholic, right?
Well, and you wanted to know more about the dad, too, because he's the one that also brings us to the junkyard where we find the Tilt-A-Whirl. And I love it when they feed the dog bubblegum.
And then, like, he doesn't swallow it. No, he just chews it.
He teaches him
how to blow bubbles.
And then later I didn't understand the parallel because the helicopter guy also likes to chew bubble gum. I didn't know if there's a parallel between the dog's bubble gum chewing and...
Joe Dante just bought a lot of gum and he's like, well, what are we going to do with this?
He kind of saves Ethan Hawke from his fight. And then Ethan Hawke can't help but sort of follow him to his house.
He catches him on his pedal bike. He pedals up in no time. I like it too.
He's like, hey, why'd you run away? Why'd you run away from me? And he says something like, Jesus, I helped you out, but I didn't think that'd mean you were going to follow me forever. But then turns out he's got a pretty sad little life. He's got his mom died when he was younger.
My God. Yes.
And the dad is just can't hold down a job. I guess he's an alcoholic. He's got a girlfriend.
There's a lot of questions that I need answered about this kid's life, especially later when he's like, let's call it the Thunder Road. It's a Bruce Springsteen song. And I don't know if you've ever listened to that song, but it is a sad sax song. And I'm like, this kid's drunken father has listened to this song for decades. Because it was a song from like the mid-70s, too.
It wasn't a contemporary
song at this time.
I like how they all agree. Like, yeah, Thunderbird's a great name for a spaceship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when he steals his dad's beer and he's like, oh, yeah, I took my dad's beer. It's pretty good. My dad drinks a lot of it. Why isn't this the movie? Why isn't this the movie? Don't go to space. Don't meet aliens. Just these kids, hard times. I want this movie.
Hard times for this. Darren is this kid's name. I thought it was Derek, but it's Darren.
All right. I'm just going to refer to him as the kid with the bad home life, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah. That's fine, because that's basically his background.
Ethan Hawke invites him back to his house or something.
Invites him back to River Phoenix's house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and like they have a stream or a creek that apparently is almost like a railway system between everybody's house.
Yeah.
And it's always foggy.
Very foggy, there really isn't
any water in there. It's just a barren, dried up creek.
Yeah.
And there's also junk
kind of mystical.
Did you notice how much junk is just around River Phoenix's house, too?
Well, I think that's because they're scientists and they do a lot of experiments, maybe. The dad was looking for bug traps or something. There's definitely junk around Darren, the sad kid's house, because his dad, like, collects junk or something like that. Like, when we first pull up to his house, there's, like, just an abandoned car. It looks like it's in a trailer or something. Yeah. It's very sad.
I don't know if he's collecting it. I know people that just have cars sitting on their lawns, and they're not collecting it. That thing just never
decor.
Left.
Yeah. It's just decor.
Decor.
But Wolfgang not only has a lot of River Phoenix not only has a lot of junk, he also has a ton of siblings. Right?
Like his household is a delight.
Yeah, it's a gem. I agree.
Again, Ethan Hawke's home life is the only one that isn't really talked about. We see his mom.
Mm-hmm.
We never see his dad, hear about his dad, hear from his dad via his mom or anything. We don't know anything about his home life. These other two kids, I want to live in their households. I want a movie about each of them because these people are crazy.
Wolfgang's family is so fun. They're clearly German scientists.
Yep. Accents? Good accents? Don't know, but there's a bunch of accents flying around this house.
There's a bunch of accents, yeah. Like you said, the little baby or the kid is eating a breakfast through like a Halloween mask.
It's funny because it's not really a Halloween mask because it's not like a mask of Captain America or Count Chocula or anything. It's just like something that a store would put in their window, like a jack-o'-lantern with the word boo above it, but he cut eye holes and a mouth hole in this thing.
And he's eating cereal through it. And the dad's wearing a weird mask too.
I don't know. He's looking for a bug bomb. He's running around the house yelling about it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And his mom is just, she's got a big bowl of something. She's just scooping stuff out.
Mm-hmm. She serving things. Offers them baklava.
Yep. Yep.
And then
baklava, which then I was like, are these people Greek? And I went, no. Listen to those accents.
Yeah. Nope, they're not. And down in the basement is where young Wolfgang is also doing some experiments.
Like I said before we started recording, I don't want to get into the science because I think it's all garbage science, and I didn't make note of anything they were saying.
Mm.
But he does have a mouse that they have given petals that make
Words? He can communicate through the mouse touches the petals and communicates, I want more cheese.
Yeah, the mouse has four petals. One says I, the other one want, the other one more, the other one cheese. Mm-hmm. And they're so aggravated by this mouse asking for cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, if that's the only thing you gave him to save, what is he going to do?
What do you want
to
do with it?
Yeah, the kid and the dad, they both hate this mouse. Mm-hmm. But he's down there and he's got a computer.
Yeah.
And he's very computer-y.
Yeah, he knows a lot about computer stuff.
I don't know what's going on. He just puts in some stuff and he's like, do 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 do, click click click, tap tap tap. Oh, I did all, you know, you called me about your dream and I typed all the things into this computer here, and then like holes get blasted in a bunch of books.
Yes. Then something blasts out of the computer, apparently.
Right.
And busts a hole in the books and in the shelves. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
Until later that night. I love how Ethan Hawke sleeps on the roof of his house, I guess.
Yeah, he's got like a ladder and a sleeping bag up there.
He just loves space so much.
Mm-hmm.
He just, you know, he's a kid that loves space. He loves, and this is important later, important in air quotes, he loves old sci-fi movies.
Mm-hmm. And he loves to dream. Like, Darren is like, I don't ever dream. I don't remember. She's got a sad life. And Ethan Hawke's kind of like, what's life without dreaming? How can you not?
Ethan Hawke is our main protagonist, which I think is fun. But when they do decide to build this thing and to blast off in space, he is bringing the least to this group. The one kid, like, knows how to build stuff, and he's welding things, and River Phoenix is putting all this stuff into the computer, and every now and then Ethan Hawke will just look over and go, that looks right. Uh-huh.
He's bringing the hope. He's the hope and the excitement.
And he brings the snacks, too.
The Tang, I guess, because there's Tang, yeah.
River Phoenix has created a invisible orb somehow.
Through his computer, but through the coordinates or something that were in the dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's able to then type coordinates into his computer, and the orb like flies around the room, and he's like, "Oh, you want it to move left or right or go up and down? Look at this. This is great."
Because the computer, the orb then goes crazy.
Right, because the cat jumps on the keys, right, and it like taps and it blasts out and it flies through the window and it goes all through the neighborhood, just
and then
wrecking
comes
everything.
Back
up.
Around into the house, yeah. Wrecking everything, and it's clearly not totally in their control.
No. No, not at all.
But fascinating to them. They're not afraid of it. They're not afraid of it at the same time. They're excited by it.
They're not afraid of anything. They are not, you know, and again, they're kids. So I get that maybe there's stuff that they shouldn't be afraid of that other people are. But also, they're kids. And some of this stuff later in the movie should terrify them. And they are so cool with it.
Yeah.
All of it.
They're cool. Yeah. They're explorers.
They are explorers. And I also don't like the fact that this movie is called Explorers. I thought it should be called The Explorers.
Oh,
and
you
that was
wanted
a dumb
it.
Little thing.
You wanted that article there? You needed
yes,
it?
Yes. Yeah. So the next day, they're on this hill that overlooks the town.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
they
know.
They brought the computer with them.
Yeah, he has like a word processor and a computer and everything. And I guess a battery. I don't know how they're running. But Ethan Hawke then decides to take over because he's playing, you know, big man smart guy for the kid with a bad home life. And he's like, I'll just look at this. So he traps River Phoenix in a giant impervious bubble and shoots him down into the earth.
Yeah, makes a hole, like a groundhog hole into the earth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We even see a weird puppet groundhog stick his head out of the
look
side.
Around like, rah, rah.
It is so goofy.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be a sign of things to come in this movie, because I didn't need to see puppets or people in rubber suits. Or...
this is going to happen in Freya. It's what's going to happen. Finally, it is kind of funny to see River Phoenix kind of floating in this ball for a minute.
Yeah.
But he releases him because he's kind of freaking out, obviously.
I don't even know how he releases him, but he ends up, he's like in a tree or he's stuck in a tree. And
oh, yeah.
River Phoenix seems a little concerned about this. Mm-hmm. Ethan Hawke is like, hey.
He's stoked. He's like, whoa, we can use this little floaty ball for lots of fun things, like spying on the girl I got a crush on.
First he said, we can look in the top of the girl's gym, which doesn't make any sense unless, like, does the girl's gym not have a roof? I assume he's talking about the girl's locker room, but is there no roof? Is it a sun roof?
Because they're floating above it. I don't know.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Mm. But he's got a better idea, and it's to creepily spy on this girl that he's got a super crush on.
While she's, like, on the phone eating a peanut butter sandwich or something, right?
It's a Boston cream pie.
Oh, that's right. Boston cream pie.
Part of the movie was kind of gross, because he's walkie-talkie. Why he's relaying this information to the other two sitting at the bottom, but he's like, ooh, yeah, she's in Boston cream pie. Oh, she's on the phone. And I was like, this is gross because, I don't know, he's like 12 or something.
Yeah, we didn't need this love interest. No. We really didn't. It was more fun to just have these three boys kind of romp around. I mean, if anything, they should have made Darren, this boy with the sad home life, like a girl with a sad home life, like a tomboy. But we didn't need the love interest. They're too young, really, to have such a strong love interest. And she, like you said, she goes nowhere. She's got minimal role.
And again, not to take it back to Goonies or Stranger Things, but man, I mean, you got three white kids with brown hair. Like, it's kind of, I mean, if it wasn't River Phoenix and Ethan Hawke, people I know, yeah, I would get these kids confused.
Oh.
Like, there's no minorities and there's no girls. Like, there's nothing differentiating these kids except for what they're wearing.
Yeah.
River Phoenix is like, oh, yeah, you know, that was fun to do that spying on that girl for some reason. And the whole thing's running off of a 9-volt battery, which doesn't make any sense.
Again, science behind this? Question mark.
So now one of your favorite parts of the movie, and one of mine, is that the sad kid takes them to the junkyard where he goes to hang out when things aren't great at all.
Yeah. This is the place where he gets to go. He knows the guy that runs the place. He knows his dog well. He's been there quite a few times because he's tried a lot of things on this dog to get him to ease up. And the thing that works the best on the guard dog of the junkyard is bubblegum. Apparently the dog likes to chew bubblegum and it distracts him enough where he's going to chew it. And I wish he had blown a couple bubbles. That would have been hilarious.
That would be great.
But he doesn't. Nonetheless, they go into the junkyard and they find the old tilt-a-whirl in the junkyard.
This junkyard is amazing.
There are
carnival rides,
yeah,
gas masks, refrigerators, totem poles. It's got everything you could want.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, these gas masks come in handy later.
I wondered, I mean, they do wear them, but they're not even really wearing them appropriately, right? Like, they're not, they're covering just their noses or just, like, I don't, right?
Yes. And you know that was an issue on set where they were like, well, they can't wear the ones that cover their mouths because we have to hear what they're saying.
Sure.
It shouldn't be muffled. So they have ones that cover their noses, but they're little kids, so it keeps going in their mouth. And every time we see Ethan Hawke, he's moving it up because it's like under his upper teeth.
Uh-huh.
It is so clunky and weird looking.
Yeah.
And thank God later they do pump oxygen into that for them. Because that was just absolutely
awkward. Yeah, it was awkward. But they make good use out of this. They decide for some reason, like you said, why they decide they need to have this spaceship to carry them in this floaty orb globe thing. I don't know but they decide when they get to this junkyard that that's what they're going to do. They're going to make this spaceship with the tilt-a-whirl so that they can all get inside and then use the computer to get the floaty orb thing to float them all in their spaceship, which they name The Thunder Road. And like you said, the kid with the sad home life is good because he can help kind of put things together. Yeah. And
he's good with his hands.
Yes.
Good with his hands.
Yes. And River Phoenix is the smart one. He can kind of get the computer all jiving. And really, Ethan Hawke is just kind of pumping them up and so excited that they're going to go and explore outer space.
He's also in charge of sort of decorating it. We do see him putting up NASA stickers inside. And he puts like a space shuttle as a hood ornament on this thing.
Yes. Yes.
So it is almost like the other two are like, I don't know, let's just give him something to do. Like, while we do this, let's tell him to go gather stickers and he can paint a racing stripe on the side if he wants or something.
It'll be fun, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's put together with, like, there's a TV, there's a garbage can.
I really liked it. Like, I love the look of this thing.
Yeah, it's got a cool look to it. I agree.
And it's so roomy inside, too. I know
Tilt-A-Whirls are pretty big. Very spacious for the three of them.
But it's big enough for the three of them. They're not sitting on top of each other. Mm-mm. They have cool red lights, like they have Christmas lights inside this thing.
Yeah, I think that was Ethan Hawke,
he brought the Christmas lights, definitely.
Yeah. He's like, this is going to work. They have snacks. And did the masks at all give you a Blue Velvet flashback?
I did not think of it. I didn't think of it once. I try not to look at 12-year-old children and think of Blue Velvet.
Understood. Understood. Gotcha. Well, I wrote down they were wearing Blue Velvet masks. But then they do. Their spaceship begins to float above the dogs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It looks ridiculous. Like, with today's technology, it looks like garbage.
Terrible. It's very 80s-ified, but and the funny thing is besides the dogs, like you said, they float through the drive-thru, which is also playing some sort of sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
And nobody notices that they are floating above them.
We see a couple in a car.
Yep.
And
just one.
At one point, the guy goes, look at this. It looks so fake. And I guess he's referring to their spaceship, but we're not even sure. Nobody looks up and goes, what is that thing? It doesn't look like anything that's on screen, so I can't think that anybody is fooled by this.
Except, and then they lose control somehow. They crash into the movie theater. It makes a big hot mess. The only people that – I don't know what those two are doing in the helicopter –
I want a movie about them. I want a buddy comedy where Meshach Taylor and Dick Miller are just hanging out in a helicopter.
They're patrolling. Are they like the local cops in a chopper? I'm not sure.
So I think they're just two guys.
Just hanging out.
I want a story like they're old Vietnam buddies or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I need something. And also the fact that Meshach Taylor is out of the movie the moment he gets out of the helicopter.
Yeah.
And also, like, later on, Dick Miller's on the phone with somebody, and he's like, man, remember that dream that I had, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but it goes nowhere.
This is going to come to something.
No, it doesn't. I know, it's so weird, because you just need to know that he talks to somebody on the phone about how, I guess because he used to, as a kid, have similar dreams like Ethan Hawke has.
Don't know. We don't know. Because then I was like, oh, is he going to be the villain of the movie? Like, this is awesome. But no, he looks up and he's like, yeah, way to go, kids.
Yeah, he's proud.
Do it.
Yeah.
Like, what? What are you? Who are you? And just, again, just like you did with River Phoenix, you might remember, listeners, Meshach Taylor as Hollywood from Mannequin, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And you may remember Dick Miller getting electrocuted by a robot in a mall as a janitor Chopping Mall.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are in old movies that we've done, we will always point that out. They have this whole issue, and you're right, Meshach Taylor, Dick Miller, they're just in a helicopter hanging out, and they see it. They're the only two that see it. But we do see that it's in the newspaper when they land. It's all newspaper.
Makes quick news. Well, they get into outer space for like a minute, but then there's some kind of oxygen problem. They lose air, so they land. And then they see that and Ethan Hawke immediately wants to go back. Got a little, they're like, oh, that was fun. We got to have that one adventure. And he's like, oh no, that was just the start. We got to keep that going. we made the spaceship. We have to, I think he says, trust the dream. And the other two are kind of like, I don't know. There's this stuff in the paper now. People are going to catch on to that. We did this. Mm-hmm. And in the paper right away, they call it the UFO.
Yeah.
A UFO sighting, right?
And again, the other two are out. The other two are like, no. Or
until.
The kid with the bad home life is like, no. And River Phoenix says something like, well, we have to work on this. We have to figure it out. There are issues, blah, blah, blah.
But then they all have a dream that they're all in together, right? They all have like an overlapping dream.
Yeah, where they have a dream about another circuit board and another thing that they all have to draw, which I don't understand. I guess this is just the coordinates to the alien spacecraft, right?
And I think that we're also supposed to think that the aliens are communicating with them through these dreams and right? Right.
I mean, I certainly didn't think that until they meet the aliens, but I think that then later on that's made very clear.
Yeah.
Like, if you were able to figure it out, unlike me, great. But for people like me that just didn't know what was going on, the aliens kind of say, hey, we've been in your dreams or whatever.
Right.
Whatever it is, I guess it's just new coordinates. Nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense about the science of this movie. We've said it before, but I'll just say it again.
Reiterate, yeah.
So they fly into space. They have a clear mission now, which is to find aliens. And I think it's important to mention, at this point in the movie, we've really glossed over the majority of this movie. If you're watching this, you're like 45 to 50 to maybe an hour into this movie at this point. So all that time was spent like really establishing these three characters and them building this thing and bonding. And now just forget all of it. Just forget. None of it matters.
Before they head out into space when Ethan Hawke is writing his last will and his mom's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm writing a letter to grandma. But because he knows he's going into space and he doesn't know what the outcome is going to be. But yeah, now that we get into space. Oh, and you're right. Then the helicopter guy finds his jacket and kind of threatens him for a minute, but that goes nowhere. Like
he
you said,
weirdly threatens him. Like, is this your jacket, kid?
Because there's some sort of relation there that we don't really get into. Like a little flashback, maybe when he was a kid and had a similar like.
Oh my
or
God.
Did the if the
wouldn't
aliens would have mentioned him?
Sorry, wouldn't it be hilarious if at the end of this, Dick Miller flew into their dream?
Yes, yes.
Like right
instead
beside
of the girl. Yes,
right.
Instead of her. I agree.
Yep, write her out of this movie. No offense.
She's not necessary.
I almost called her Jenny Lewis. Like, just, it's a character we don't need.
Agreed. Now they zap into space.
Yes.
And somehow they get into this other, like the alien spacecraft, right? They get kind of eaten
up by it.
Can
I just point something out real quick before they get there, which is something that I think about a lot when I watch movies with aliens or, you know, whatever. They're talking about how they might be aliens or aliens are communicating with them, and I wonder what these aliens look like. And Ethan Hawke he says something so great because he's like, it could be anything. They could be slimy blobs or they could just be thought waves. And I think every time I watch like Star Trek and it's just like, oh, look at this alien. It's just like a guy with green paint on. And I'm like, okay, all right. It's a guy. He's got three eyes, but he has eyes and a mouth. And I think also that makes it more of a bummer when they actually meet these aliens.
No, and it's not this like.
No, it's nothing we haven't seen before. It's nothing new. It's nothing original. It's nothing entertaining. I fast-forwarded through most of it.
You didn't want to watch it? You were bothered by it that much?
I try so hard to make it a point to sit through our movies, even if there are long stretches that I don't like. When I saw what was happening, I was like, I cannot watch this. And even while
I
was fast-forwarding, I was watching the time go by, and I was baffled by how much time we were spending on this.
Well, because they meet the aliens. First there's this mechanical spider that kind of chases them. I think it's supposed to be scarier than what it is. And it takes weird pictures of them. It touches their butt inappropriately.
Oh, my God. Yeah, these weird mechanical hands come out and frisk him. And he's got a picture of this girl in his back pocket.
Yeah, because he's really got a good crush on her. Yuck. You say yuck.
I guess I say yuck.
It's unnecessary.
Yes.
What's really creepy is, okay, so actually it's just the two of them. Ethan or River Phoenix has kind of disappeared from the two,
yes,
right?
He's been separated.
When he gets separated, it's because he's found the female alien, and they're getting it on pretty nicely, actually.
She's talking like Marilyn Monroe. It's really weird.
But she's really intelligent. River Phoenix really likes how smart she is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're these... Okay, so the aliens are... They're like these slimy, blobby Muppet aliens.
Yeah.
With these like...
Slimy Muppets.
Eyes.
Yeah, slimy Muppets. That's a great way to put it.
And they kind of... The boy one, she kind of talks like Marilyn Monroe. And then he's kind of always doing these like TV show one-liners and stand-up bits. Because just as Ethan Hawke liked to watch old sci-fi movies, they gleam all of their information about Earth from, I guess, TV shows.
Yep.
Which really throws River Phoenix off. He's like, I can't believe they watch TV. What the hell? Like, they're... He does a "What's up, Doc?" when he first sees him. Oh my God,
that was it. I was so
that's when
done.
You were like, I know.
I looked at this stupid looking alien, this stupid looking rubber costume, and when it said "What's up, Doc?" in the Bugs Bunny voice,
yeah,
I was like, I am out. I'm done.
What is happening?
Anything I enjoyed about this movie has been destroyed.
It is goofy, and I see where if it didn't go here, this movie could have been like super amazing because you've got this great beginning of these three boys and their friendship, and you're kind of on board, and they build this cool spaceship. So had they found even a cooler, even a little more scarier, more intense alien creatures, or just kind of explored space a little more, it could have been more interesting. It felt like the second half of the movie, like, obviously the movie was made for kids, but when we get to the second half of the movie, it felt like it was not only made for kids, it was made by kids.
Oh my God, 100%.
That's why I think you get a little lost, and even my husband who liked the movie as a kid was like, yeah, I didn't like this part, because you wanted it to get a little deeper. You wanted it to go where it could have gone.
Yeah, or just something where they go and I really enjoy when they're exploring the spaceship and it's just – it's nothing. It's just cold and it's mechanical and there's nothing there. And even if that was it, even if they were like, well, I guess we found intelligent life, but it's not a thing. It's just machinery or something, but that doesn't even have you're right. It feels like – 2/3 of this movie was written by an adult, and then he gave it to a child and said, I don't know, figure out the end, and that's what happened.
I definitely see how it dampens the movie, but then I could see, like, from a little kid's perspective, I thought it was cute and funny, not in a I agree with you that the second half of the movie is where it's like, oh, what is it doing? But at the same time, I think I enjoyed it a little more because I was a little more lighthearted about it.
Okay.
We watched this with my mom, and she agreed that it got goofy, but she was like, it was kind of funny. And she thought the dad alien was hilarious. She's like, he was so funny because he's just like mumbling, and how fun is that? We have seen a lot worse in podcast. And I think I was anticipating,
It's strange because I think if I had not enjoyed the first 2/3 of this movie, I probably wouldn't have been so upset.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the beginning of this. And I thought it was going to be something that I really liked. And that's what made this even more disappointing when this happened.
I agree. And then even this, like their interactions with the aliens kind of go nowhere. He just kind of says a bunch of jokes.
Hey, we watched the aliens sing an entire song.
Yeah.
An entire song. And for these kids that were kind of like, no, this is kind of weird, they are into it.
Yeah.
By the time he gets
they're
to a song,
bobbing their heads
they're
to the
sitting
songs.
There like on beanbag chairs with lava lamps or whatever's happening. Mm-hmm. And they are all about this.
Yeah, he's singing some kind of like, I don't know.
Suddenly, the aliens are afraid because they are picked up by quote-unquote space pirates.
Oh, yeah.
The space pirates, of course, end up being the alien's father because these aliens are just kids. But this was,
right.
this was a part of the movie that made me really laugh and kind of like, I'm not saying bring the movie back to me. But when this father alien comes in and Ethan Hawke and River Phoenix are like, what is going on? Yeah. And this kid who apparently has an abusive father is like, the one that's like, oh, yeah, that's his dad.
It's oh totally the dad. Yeah, it's totally the dad.
Yeah, he knew. He picked it up. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. My dad sounds like this guy every day.
Yeah, just yelling. Because, yeah, the dad kind of mumbles and is like,
these children aliens are like, oh, I guess you got to go now. Our fun's over. And,
yeah.
Well, the whole thing, and if they were doing this and there was more of a social commentary to it, okay, fine. If there was if there was like a negative, like TV is bad because blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
Or they show clips from old sci-fi movies like, well, we won't go down there and interact with people because we've seen what they do to people like us or aliens and all that. But it's just, it's all discussed in about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
It's all just like, eh, whatever. Oh, and you have so many germs. We had to disinfect you when you came up. Oh, really? Let's explore that. No, get back in. Get out of here. We're done.
Yeah, you should leave. Yeah, we got in trouble for calling you guys up here. Our dad's yelling at us. And then that's it. Then
that's it. Yeah. And then they come back.
Oh, they give him a necklace. They do give Ben a little space necklace, right? Oh, and he gives them a harmonica.
Oh, yes.
And then they kind of eat the harmonica weirdly, right?
Yeah.
And then they zap away. They leave.
They zoom away, mm-hmm. and they come back, and they crash land into Earth, into like a bay
into
or
some
something?
Water, yeah.
I didn't know they lived near an ocean.
I didn't know either. But they don't drown or anything. They're safe. But their spacecraft sinks.
Right. Does this girl live at the ocean, too?
Because
they appear to fly by her window, and she looks out and goes, oh, that's weird. Again, the only person that sees any of this.
It's her. Mm-hmm.
And then she's watching them as they come out of the water. They don't see her. She doesn't talk to them.
Mm-mm.
There's no interaction.
Mm-mm.
They watch their spacecraft sink. And I guess that's kind of the end of their adventure. Like,
yeah.
They don't say, like, oh, let's do that again, or mm-mm. it was easy enough to make that orb. I'm sure they could just make another one.
No, it's like the alien dad ruined all their fun, and now it's like, mm-hmm. you guys can't hang out anymore.
Yep.
And they don't. And the boys are sad for a while. They have a sad little time by that treetop.
Yeah.
And the raincoat.
River Phoenix is wearing a trench coat at this point, like a large elderly man's trench coat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, and then they're back in school. We do have throughout moments where the boys are in school and they couldn't concentrate and focus because they were thinking about their space trip. But
well,
now they're back
because they were
school.
Up all night welding
right.
and stuff in the creek and nobody heard them, I guess.
The girl passes, nobody heard any of this. The girl passes a note like she knows about the trip somehow.
Yeah, she says, have a nice trip,
question mark. Yeah.
And when she turns around at that scene in school, I was like, this is the most solid screen time she's had. The mm-hmm. most time that the camera is on her, hangs mm-hmm. on her, is about 3 seconds at the end of this movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I mean, you have Can't Buy Me Love right around the corner, so good for her.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Yeah, two actors who had some drug issues were in this movie, and both ended up not making it.
Oh, did she die?
Very recent, just last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
She had a rough, rough life as a child star.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know. R.I.P. Yep. indeed then.
Yeah. Yeah. She just overdosed. I think it was about a year ago. I don't think it was maybe 2016, 2017. Ooh. But yeah, very recently. Oh, and then Ethan Hawke has that crystal necklace or whatever it is that the aliens gave him. And
right.
suddenly he's in the classroom and it's empty.
Oh, yeah.
But they're Tilt-A-Whirl in the corner of this room. And I was like,
yeah, their spaceship
what is going
there.
On at this
uh-huh.
point in the movie. But it doesn't matter because they all have their weird circuit board flying dream. I guess there's no circuit board. They're just flying.
No, they're all just flying in the clouds.
They're mm-hmm. all flying. His crush joins them on this flight.
They hold hands.
The aliens have made them all able to dream together. And because they stole that picture of her, I guess she's now in the dream.
She's in it because she's part of their, I don't know, because he expresses to them that he someday she'll be my girlfriend. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
But then that's it, right? Those are the explorers.
I think I am coming down on the side of a not recommend. Ooh. I think I'm not going to recommend this.
I think it's because of the second half. I liked it.
Oh, it is. Okay.
I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it. And I think depending on the person, I would recommend it. I think I would. But with the warning that you could probably turn it off when they get to meet the aliens.
Or choose your own adventure after that. That sounds so strange to say. Like, it's so weird to recommend a movie.
To not watch the whole thing. Like I said earlier,
yeah. Or there are plenty of movies I've seen where I'm like, well, you know, in the middle, there's like a 15-minute period where it really drags. But rarely do I see a movie where I'm like, you know what? You don't need to watch the end. Don't watch the end. Don't watch how this movie ends. Right. Watch most of it.
But don't watch the ending. And I think the other reason for the recommendation is to recommend watching it is because the actors being so young and being their first movie and getting to watch them. It'd be a different movie completely. It would be an unrecommended movie if the actors were bad, because the boys do such a good job that also makes it enjoyable to watch and recommendable. But if they didn't do such a good job or they were different actors, I think it would have ruined the movie completely, because with the ending and with poor performances, I think you'd feel really you'd feel like you watched Mac and Me. But in this case, because there was better acting. And,
oh, my God.
Do you agree?
Do I like Mac and Me more than this?
Mm.
You know what? That's a decision I'm not going to make, because I don't know.
What Mac and Me has on this is that McDonald's performance outdoes the aliens' saxophone.
Right. Yes.
So what do you recommend then? Where do you go?
I'm going to recommend. I have been, I think, pretty good about recommending movies. I know you like to dabble in books sometimes.
Sure.
Television series.
Yeah.
One time I think you told people to watch a specific workout video or something. Because somebody made like a jaguar video. Face or something.
A yoga video, yeah.
I think that was your cat people recommendation. I don't know. I am going to recommend a web series.
Oh.
It's dumb to call it a web series because now you can find it. I don't know if it's on Amazon, I think, but you can find DVDs of it. It is kind of hosted by Joe Dante, and it's called Trailers from Hell, which is – it's great because he has famous directors, really well-known directors, like classical directors and contemporary directors. And what they do is if you watch this, they will show a trailer – for a movie, for an old movie that this director likes. And the director talks about the movie while the trailer runs. And that's it.
Oh.
Like, each conversation is about 2 to 3 minutes, however long the trailer is.
Okay.
And that's it. And you can find it online. It's really great. It's enjoyable. It's fun to see the types of movies that these directors liked, you know, from when they were kids or, you know, whatnot. But it's really good, and Joe Dante is very involved, so that's something worth checking out.
Awesome. Very cool. You always have out there. Mine's not that original or that you mentioned it before. I have not seen the third season of Stranger Things, at least not yet, not by recording. So instantly it was Stranger Things that kind of came up on my mind because I haven't seen the third one yet. So I'd say Stranger Things. That was it. Yeah. Nothing too obscure, nothing too crazy, but not a yoga video.
Love Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I've watched the first two. I watched the first episode of the third for the first episode, and I don't know if it's going to continue like this. It's like somebody just grabbed a cassette of songs of the 80s. I think in the first 5 minutes they play three different songs that are just so 80s, like greatest hits collection of the 80s. I don't know if it's going to continue, but it was kind of fun and annoying at the same time.
Oh, because so much 80s. Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to the third season. I liked one and two. Of course, I liked one better than two.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm looking forward to seeing the second one. And as of maybe by the time this episode airs, I will have seen it, but not yet. So watching this, I had Stranger Things
back in,
on
everybody.
Mind. Yeah.
Find out.
You come tomorrow to the Philadelphia Podcast Fest, I might have seen it, and then we can chat about it.
Yep. You can ask her.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, oh, yeah, I finished it on the plane ride over.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't actually watch Supergirl, but I'm prepared to talk about Stranger Things season 3.
Who knows? We might just talk about Stranger Things. You'll never know if you don't
show
up. You
won't know unless you come.
Or not a patron.
That's right.
All right. So I said that we've sort of dug ourselves into a rut, at least from my perspective.
Yeah, terrible movies. Yeah.
But I'm looking at what we have coming up, and I'm pretty excited. I think
you're
it's
stoked.
All turning around.
Here we go.
Starting with, people may not agree, but starting with our next episode. So, Jamie, you know how I like to sometimes choose actors' birthdays, and they're never heavy hitter actors. They're never the big ones.
No, they shouldn't be.
They're never the small ones. What is your feeling on Melanie Griffith?
Oh, yeah, I don't really like
that face. Wow. All right. Anyway, it's Melanie Griffith's birthday, so we're going to do a Melanie Griffith movie. This movie is called Cherry 2000.
Oh, I wish it was Under the Cherry Moon 2000.
Oh.
I'd be into that.
Now, Jamie, I don't know if you know this movie. It made the rounds on HBO a lot when I was a kid.
I don't know it.
I'm going to say, think of sort of a mashup of Streets of Fire and Mad Max.
Okay. Maybe I can get into this.
Where Melanie Griffith like plays a badass with like a shotgun, and
she's
got a great wig on in this.
My opinion of her may
amazing.
Change then.
Yes.
Exciting. Okay.
It may change. So,
all right.
That'll be our next episode. But again, before that, you can find us at Tattooed Mom tomorrow.
Be there.
You can go to Patreon. You can get our episode that comes out on August 1st.
It's a really fun one. Really
Beverly
a fun one.
Beverly Hills Madam.
Mm-hmm. Madame, if you will.
Does one of the escorts become pregnant? Maybe. Is another one brutally
murdered? Is anyone
murdered?
Question mark.
Jeez. It's, who's that French guy? Don't know. You're going to have to listen to find out. Oh, I'm so glad we're doing TV movies. So that is going to be every year. That's going to be our August Patreon every year.
Beverly
Not Beverly Hills Madam every time.
No.
But a TV movie every time. So
maybe we'll get to I Know My First Name is Steven. It's a little sad for our podcast.
Like a two-parter, too.
Oh, I think it is. Well, there's a long story to tell because there's the kidnapping part, and then there's the part when he gets back with his family.
Oh, you know what? Corin Nemec follows us on Twitter. Maybe we can get him to come on.
Yeah. We could talk it right through with him. I like it.
You're right. Because, I'm sure he's so sick of talking about Parker Lewis Can't Lose and just can't wait to talk about the horrible child abuse movie he was in.
Based on a true story.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh.
Eek.
Don't read about All that right. guy in real life either. Not good.
Well.
Anybody that's still listening, I guess.
Anybody out there? Aliens? Anybody?
As we always say, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram. Are we still on Instagram, Jamie?
We are.
I know. Yeah. I'm just giving you a hard time.
You should.
Give us a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as they call it now. We never ask for that.
But we like it when it happens.
Yes. Helps us. If you're not going to Patreon us, you can help the show that way.
Then patronize us. No.
Then patronize us.
Such close. So
on
close.
On Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
We like,
say nice
oh,
things,
they're
really.
So great. People won't know. People will be like, are they being sarcastic or
not? We're not sure. We're not sure. They must be Patreons or
Patreons. They gave them a one-star review but said they're great. I
said great
don't
things.
Know what they're
confusing.
Doing.
So confusing.
Yeah. Oh. So do that. And I don't know. Anything else? I feel like this has been a short episode.
And well, because you're just blasting into outer space, and there wasn't really a lot to this movie.
A lot of kids sitting around building.
And a lot of then the weird Tron graphics.
Everybody, we will see you either tomorrow at Tattooed Mom, or we will see you in 2 weeks when we watch Cherry 2000. So go watch Cherry 2000. Also for Cherry 2000, Jamie, I didn't tell you this. We might have a guest.
Ooh.
I'm not 100% sure, but we might.
Okay. Keep us posted.
Is it Melanie Griffith? Maybe.
That's what I wondered. Is but it I'm Antonio sorry for making Banderas? That face. Is it his parasitic twin? I wonder.
Wait, is he the one?
Yeah.
Wait, I know Andy Garcia had one.
Oh, I thought it was Andy Garcia. I thought I confused them then.
I know people are constantly getting Andy
Garcia.
Was
Antonio Banderas Andy Garcia's parasitic twin, maybe? That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, we've been doing this long enough. I'm just trying to pad it, trying to get to
it. I like it.
All right. Everybody, we will talk to you again in 2 weeks. Have a great 2 weeks.
Take care.
A screen door slams. Mary's dress waves like a vision. She dances across the porch as the radio plays. Roy Orbison singing for the lonely. Hey, that's me, and I want you only. Don't turn me home again. I just can't face myself alone again. Don't run back inside, darling. You know just what I'm here for. So you're scared and you're thinking that maybe we ain't that young anymore. Show a little faith, there's magic in the night. You ain't a beauty, but hey, you're all right. Oh, and that's all right with me. You can hide with your colors and study your pain. Because lovers, lovers isn't around. Waste your summer break.
I want a sequel for twins called Parasitic Twin. And it's Andy Garcia and Antonio Banderas.